It was a little over 39 years ago. Jackie and I were expecting our first Joel to show up. We didn't know his name. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. But we had a baby coming. And so we got prepared to have a baby. And one of the things that happened is I found where we were at the time, in a junk pile, a crib. And so I got this crib and I put it all together and I painted it yellow. And we were getting ready to bring him home from the hospital. Somebody gave us a Moses basket, and we lost that when we were in Liberia. We called it the Moses basket. It was the perfect size basket with two handles on it. We could put Joel in there, and we could carry him around with us. It was great. He was sleeping. We could just carry him with him, set him down somewhere. It was wonderful. Well, then we had two more kids, Joshua and Jesse, both of which attend here normally, but they're celebrating their anniversaries this weekend. But anyway, I don't remember so much. I mean, it was a long time ago. Matter of fact, the things I told you about, my wife had to remind me. I said, okay, honey, remind me of things that happened back that far ago. But that's how it is. But we were preparing to have a baby come and live with us. And there was things that we did. We looked at, and we will review, God's preparation of the earth for the crowning glory of creation. Our memory verse is Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 6. And this is the one that we'll be going over the last 5 weeks. We'll be using it for a couple more weeks before we go to another one. Let's say it together. It's on the screen. Jeremiah 10, 6. There is none like you, Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. What a great verse. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. We thank you that this morning we can open it up and we can learn and we can get a new glimpse of who you are, of your greatness, of your power, of your majesty, of your sovereignty. And this morning, Lord, I pray that each one of us would have hearts that are open and tender to your word. We commit this hour to you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you remember, as we're going through this here, we've actually set up that there's five different chords as we look at the storyline of Christ. And those five are God, man, sin, redemption, and seasons. Today, we're going to be talking about God again like we have in the past. Yes, we've been talking about God. Everything up in the last 4 weeks has all been about God. But today, we're going to add in another one, and that is man. So we're going to be talking about God, and today, God is creating man. Let's do a little review. Last week, Ace led us through the creation week. Remember that? Day one, God spoke and said, let there be light, and it appeared. Now remember, when we go through the creation week, the sun, the moon, and the stars, they don't show up until day four. But God said, let there be light. And God saw the light, that it was good. But God separated the light from darkness, and he called the light day. And he called the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning one day. The Bible records this very statement at the end of all 6 days of creation. There was morning and there was evening one day. On day two, God created an expanse in the midst of the waters. He separated the waters that were below the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And I'm not sure exactly how that all was, but that's what God says he did. And we talked about the three different heavens: the atmosphere, outer space, and the spiritual realms, or the throne of God. Day three, there was the oceans. It's where waters were gathered into one place, and dry land appeared. I liked Ace what he said. He said, God spoke and Africa appeared. That's a cool thing. But God called the dry land, it appeared, and he called it earth. Then the vegetation, the plants, the fruit trees, all with seeds to produce more. And what's interesting, when you stop and you think about these things, we say something, but it's way more than that. Oh, he created the plants. Cool. There was a whole earth of plants to create, but God spoke, and it was there. Day four, there was two great lights, one to rule the day, that was the sun, and the lesser one to rule the night, that was the moon, and then there was the stars. It's a simple statement, isn't it? Here we go again, the stars. But it was a vast creation. Scientists currently estimate that there to be 2 trillion galaxies. And each of the galaxies have about 100 million stars. I don't know about you, but that's amazing. And God named them all. I believe that there's actually no end to the stars. I think if you kept going, because God is that way, there is no end to the stars. I think there's no end to the smallest thing that there is, because that is our God. Years ago, people thought that the smallest building block of what we see is a grain of sand. Then the atom was discovered, and it was thought it was indivisible. And nearly a century ago, scientists realized that the atoms are made up of even smaller objects. There's 2 tiny types of particles, one a proton and one's a neutron, and they were found in the dense cores in the center of the atoms. But there was a third type of particle that swarms around the core like a cloud of hypercaffeinated mosquitoes, and that third particle is called an electron. About 50 years ago, scientists discovered that the proton and the neutron are composed of even smaller particles called quarks, Q-U-A-R-K-S. So far, scientists have not found a thing smaller than the electron, and it remains best known as a member of the class called leptons. The smallest particles known in the universe are the quarks and the leptons. And our God designed all of that. And then he designed the stars, 2 trillion galaxies with 100 million stars each. Jeremiah chapter 32, 17 says this, O Lord God, behold, you yourself have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Well, then on day 5, God created the fish and the birds. He created them to reproduce after their kind. Again, the variety, unbelievable. There's people who are birders, and they'll go around the world looking for new species they've never seen before. They keep books of them. Again, it's a simple statement, but the incredible variety, the incredible number of species. We come to day 6, the livestock, the crawling things, and the animals, and God saw that it was good. 6 times in verses 1 through 25, we see the word good. I want to briefly review what, before we get started in our message today, I want to briefly review what all of this reveals about God. Because we can say these things, but we don't sometimes grasp the enormity of what it is. First of all, God is omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful. God spoke. He simply spoke, and all of these came to be. That is an amazing, amazing thing. I like doing woodwork, but it takes wood for me to produce something. No, God spoke, and it was. Also, number 2, God is a master designer. Think of the variety of animals, the assortment of plants, the variety of fish, the different kinds of trees. He's a master designer. Not only that, God is totally dependable because he is orderly in all of his thoughts and all of his ways. He created the sun, the moon, the stars. He put them on courses that never change. They are so predictable. It wasn't too long ago, there was a huge eclipse. And it was a total eclipse if you were in Texas, I know, because our kids went out there and they saw the total eclipse of the sun, which is a cool thing. But you know what? They have the next one already predicted. They know when it's going to happen. And they know where it's going to be because God is a God of order. It's an amazing thing. Number 4, God is perfect and holy. And because of this, he was able to create all things perfect and good. And number 5, God is loving and kind. There's so many more than this, but these are things that I want us to grasp our minds on, that God is loving and kind. He did not need the things he created. He did not need this earth. He did not need the sun. He did not need the moon. He didn't need these animals. He created them for one specific purpose. He was preparing earth for the people that he was about to create, which is point number 1 in our message this morning. Our outline and the message this morning is titled, The Crowning Glory of Creation. Number one, God finished preparing earth for man. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 18 says this, "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is the God who formed the earth and made it. He established it and did not create it as a waste place, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no one else." In a way, all of the things that we talked about in our review is actually point number one here. God was preparing earth for what's coming up, the crowning glory of creation. This is the final thing that God's going to do in creation week, and that was to make man. And so when I say man and speak of man, I'm speaking of mankind. I'm speaking of men and women. I'm not excluding the female portion. No, it's the human race. It's all of us. So everything that man would need to inhabit the earth was completely prepared for him by God. As I mentioned, you know, we prepared for our kids in a long time ago. But a little over 3 years ago, we had the privilege of going out to a baby shower for our oldest son's first child, who ended up being Jonathan. But when we went there, we had the privilege of helping them paint the nursery, getting it ready for their little one to come home. We helped paint, we helped set up the nursery, Jackie helped sort all the things that they got in the shower, getting them all in place for the day when they would bring Jonathan home from the hospital. It's normal to get ready for the new little one by fixing up the room, by getting a crib, a changing table, maybe baby clothes. Jackie reminded me that when Jesse, our youngest, was born, we didn't have baby clothes. She goes, "When he's born, you'll need to go and buy something. We don't know if it's a boy or girl because we did the God gender reveal style. And so when he's born, you need to go and get him some clothes." Well, he was born so big, we had to get three-month clothes because he was so long. He never used newborn clothes, so it's a good reason we never had any of those. Matter of fact, when we left the hospital, they gave us kindergarten enrollment papers for him. You see, people want to have everything ready ahead of time so when the little one comes home, they're well prepared. In the same way, God had made all the preparations to have man here on earth. The place he prepared was perfect because God is perfect. Number two, God planned to create man in his own image. Genesis chapter 1. So if you're there, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 26 right here. Genesis 1:26 says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth." The us and the our refers to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. You know, I don't think this is brought out, but if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, this is what it reads in the Hebrew, Baharet Shi Bara Elohim. The word Elohim is Hebrew for God. It's singular. In Hebrew, there's three different tenses for a noun. There's singular, dual, and plural. Singular is like what you think it is. It's one. Dual, it's two. But plural in Hebrew, it's three or more. It's interesting. Elohim is a plural noun. Three or more. It's speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So when we're looking at this here, let us make mankind in our image. The us and the our are both plural, speaking of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The word said there is singular. So God's plan here, and I think it's really cool, when you stop and it struck me now as I was studying this out here. It's like God says, you know what? I had a planning party. I was thinking through what am I going to do? And I'm going to share with you what I planned. Verse 26 is his plan. where he says, let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, were discussing and making a plan for what was coming next. So God planned to make man superior to the animals. Of everything that God created on the earth, man would be the most important. So God decided to make man in the image of God. This would put him in a position that was superior to the animals. So what does it mean to be made in the image of God? It's not referring to man's body being like God's. Why? Because God is spirit. We've looked at that. We've covered that before. God was referring to that part of man that can't be seen. This is what the Bible calls our soul and our spirit. You see, our soul and our spirit were created in God's image. This is what sets us apart from the animal world. You can look up and you can read some people who are like atheists, and they'll tell you what's the difference between us and them is we got thumbs and they don't. It's more than that, folks. We actually have a soul and a spirit. Animals don't have that. There's three things that likens us to the image of God. Number one is a mind. God planned to give man a mind so that he could think, so that he could reason. You see, God thinks and that he reasons. He wanted man to be like him in this way. So he gave us a mind. So with a mind, man can be able to understand what God wants to communicate with us. See, God took his word and he gave it to us, and with our mind we can study it and we can learn about our God. He wanted us to have a mind. That is how one way we were created in his image. Second of all is emotions. God has emotions. He loves and he hates. He feels sadness. He feels joy. And he wanted man to have emotions as well. And God did this so that men would be able to feel pleasure and contentment. And as man grew to understand God more and more, he would respond to him emotionally. As a parent, when you deal with your child, what are some of the things that you love the most? When they turn and reciprocate love back to you. I love it when a grandchild will come running to me to jump in my arms. You just feel like, wow, they are responding to you in love. And that's how God wants for us. He desires that we lovingly respond to him. So that's why God made us with emotions. So not only do we have a mind, emotions, the third one is a will. You see, God has a will. He makes decisions and he makes choices. We can see this in all that he created. Guess what? God wanted a dog to have four legs, not three. He wanted a dog to be able to bark. He decided to make a mockingbird be able to give funny looks. Take a look at this. How do you like that there? He decided to chose to have lambs to be able to bound on all four legs as they run through a pasture. As a kid growing up on the farm, that was a wonderful thing. He decided a cow to be able to chew her cud. He chose to make the turkey vulture be the cleanup crew. And he also chose to have beautiful sunsets in Arizona. That's our God. You see, he had choices and he made decisions and he wanted the same for us. And so he gave us a will. So just as God has a will, he planned for man to be able to make choices of his own. You might say, why is that important? Well, if we didn't have a will, we'd be like a robot. We would be controlled by someone else. Question, did your clothes have anything to say in what you wore today? Did your fridge have anything to say in what you ate for breakfast? Or did your car tell you what route to take to church? Well, maybe if you had a GPS, maybe it did. But inanimate objects have no ability to be a part of our decisions. They simply are controlled by you. And God could have made a man without a will, and he would have been unable to make decisions for himself. You see, if we didn't have the ability to make choices, man would have been forced to do everything God told him to do. Like soldiers, just do it, a robot. But God didn't make us like objects. God puts a very high value on us. He desires for us to be understand that He is a wise and the loving Creator. And then based on that knowledge, we freely choose to love Him back. And when we choose to love Him, we obey Him. And that's what pleases Him. So God gave us a mind, He gave us emotions, and He gave us a will, and He created us in His image. Summary, I want you to think about this. You know what? A plant has a body. It has a physical body. An animal has a body and a consciousness. But man is made in the image of God, and we have a third created entity, and that is a soul and spirit. God made man in His image. The mind understands what God wanted to communicate with him. Our emotions, so that we can respond out of love to Him. And our will, so that we can choose to do God's will for us. So God planned to create man superior to the animals. He also planned for the first man and woman to be managers of His creation on earth. We've already looked at this verse, but look back again at it. Look at verse 26. And I already mentioned that this is an amazing thing, that God is sharing His plan with us in verse 26. And then in verse 27, He's putting that plan into motion. Verse 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image according to our likeness.'" And here's the part where He wants us to be managers and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every crawling thing that crawls on the earth. Think about it. All of that God created, He chose that man would have a unique position. We were created in the image of God, and we would be God's representation, representative here on earth. We were to be the caretaker. God created us as the caretaker of earth. We were to have authority over the animals. We'd be able to do that because God created us with a mind, with emotions, and a will. So number one, God finished preparing the earth for man. He planned to make or create man in His own image. And thirdly, God created the first man and woman. So here it is, verse 27, God's putting His plan in motion. Verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them." So God created the first man on day six. And then later that day, He created the first woman. Later in Genesis chapter 2, in a couple weeks here, we're going to read and we're going to study about how God went about creating the woman. Some would say He saved the best for last. But God names Adam, which means man. And it's Adam who names Eve. But here's what's different. God made Adam, his body, from the ground. This is a new way to create. Everything to this point, God spoke and it was there. God spoke and it happened. And God spoke. Amazing, unbelievable power. But now God says, "I'm going to do this one different." Didn't matter what it was, whether it was the water, God spoke. Whether the sun and the stars or the moon, the cows and all the animals and the fish and the birds, all of that, God spoke and it happened. Now when He made man, He personally formed the body from the earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says this, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living person." You see, after God had formed Adam, after He had made him, he was still without life. Every part of him was perfectly formed, yet he was lifeless. His soul and his spirit, which give life to the body, were not yet created. Have you ever been to a funeral and stood at a casket? And you see the body of the person there? It's like, it's so empty. This past Good Friday, I was at my uncle's funeral. The viewing was on Good Friday, and the next day was the funeral. And I stood at the casket. It wasn't my uncle. I told Jackie, I think they put the wrong body in there. It did not look like my uncle. And my cousin said, the reason he doesn't is because he's not talking. My uncle, he had a way to talk. You see, his body is there, but he is gone. If I have a cell phone in my pocket and you call me, it's not my body that answers you. It's me. It's who I really am, my soul, my spirit, the person. If I were to die and that cell phone was still in my pocket and you called, and you wouldn't expect me to answer it, would you? Because I'm gone. My body's here, but I'm gone. It's the soul and the spirit which gives us life. And God breathed into Adam's body. Then he became a living person. Only God can give life. He is the source of all life. He gave life to Adam. You know, folks, we are heavily dependent upon electricity. If we have no electricity, we have no lights. We have no fans. We have no air conditioning. We have no fridge. We have no toaster, no microwave, no internet, no computers. At our house, we have no water. We got hooked up to a well a few months back, and when the electricity goes out, the water goes out. We are dependent upon electricity. The power company is our source for that electricity. In a similar way, God is our source of life. All things receive their life from God and are totally dependent on Him. We may not think so, but we are, because God is our source of life. God created only one man, and He created him from the ground. And because of this, Adam was the ancestor of the entire human race. And there are many races in the world, you might be thinking, how and why? And we'll get to that, folks. We'll get to the origin of different races later in Genesis. So Genesis 1:27, and we'll go on to 28, says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, verse 28, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. You know, the thing that struck me here was verse 28, the first words there. God blessed them. Did a little study, a little digging. What does that mean? The word blessed there means to endow with the capacity to reproduce and be fruitful. God made one man and one woman. Have no idea how many dogs, cows, sheep, any of that kind of stuff, how many He made. But with men and women, He made two. One man, one woman. This word bless is the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 and 16. God speaking with Abraham, and He said, then God said to Abraham, as for your wife Sarai, you shall not call her by the name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Verse 16, I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she will be the mother of a nations. King of peoples will come from her. The same word. God is giving them the ability to reproduce. And we know that was a miracle because she was way beyond years of being able to carry a child. God made only one man and one woman. He commanded them to have children, and in time, by them being fruitful, and by multiplying, the world would be populated. Number four, God made the first man and the woman managers over all the earth. God gave the man great responsibilities. He put them in charge of the earth and everything in it. They were appointed to be supervisor and caretaker, as I've already mentioned, of all that God created on earth. You see, God had the authority to put man in charge of that. In charge of all the living things. Because God had created everything. He has the right to do what He wanted to do with His creation. Psalm 24:1 is a psalm of David and says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything and all it contains, the world and those who live in it. Because God created the earth, He rightfully owns the earth. He could trust it to whomever He pleased. And He gave the earth to Adam and Eve. He had the authority to do this because He is the supreme and He is sovereign. Number five, everything God made was good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 4 says, God saw that the light was good. Verse 10, God saw that it was good. Verse 12, God saw that it was good. Verse 18, God saw that it was good. Verse 21, God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God saw that it was good. Verse 31, and God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning the sixth day. Why was it good? Because God is perfect and he is good. Everything he made was perfect. And when he created man, he made him in his image. He says, it is very good. And lastly, I want to just talk about God's angels witnessed God's creation of man. God's angels, including Lucifer, were watching when God prepared the earth and then made man. Job chapter 38, verses 4 through 11. God is speaking with Job. And I want you to, as I'm going through this, catch verse 7. Starting with verse 4. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who set its measurements, since you know? Or who stretched the measuring line over it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who enclosed the sea with doors when it went out from the womb, bursting forth? When I made a cloud its garment, and its thick darkness its swaddling bands, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors, and I said, as far as this point you shall come, but no further, and here your proud waves shall stop. Verse 7 says, when the morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Some commentators say that the morning stars were referring to Mercury and Venus. The problem is the stars of heaven were not made until the fourth day of creation, and the foundations were laid on the third day. I think this is speaking of the angels. Just as the sons of God, we know, is speaking of the angels. You can look in Job chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 1. It's speaking of the sons of God as angels. So because of this, I believe that the morning stars were the same as the sons of God or the angels. And this terminology is called Hebrew poetic parallelism. But the point is the angels were there. They saw God do all this creation, and they shouted for joy, and they sang together. They were worshiping God for his great power, for his wisdom. You see, wisdom is having a plan and being able to do it. And God had this plan. He made a plan and he brought it to fruition. And he finished it off with the crowning glory of it all. Man. That's how he finished it. He created man in his own image. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, what a tremendous privilege it is to just stop and to think of you and who you are. Of your tremendous power that you spoke and things showed up. And that yet when you create a man, the crowning glory of your creation, you breathed into him the breath of life. You made us in your image, that we have a mind, we have emotions, we have a will. And Lord, may we use those to bring glory to you. May we use them to show love for you. May we use them to show others of who you are, the all-powerful Creator God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we learned a couple weeks ago, there's no exaggeration with a million angels, is there? There was millions and millions of angels. This message today is a powerful reminder of how awesome our God is. He's not some impersonal force. And for sure, we're not the result of some blind chance or some evolution. God lovingly created man and made a really wonderful place, environment for him to live in. Both male and female were created in God's image. And therefore, both possess equally an eternal spirit capable of a personal fellowship with their Creator. Men and women share equally all those spiritual attributes that are not shared by animals. We have a moral conscience. We have abstract thought. We have appreciation of beauty. We have emotional feelings. And especially, we have the capacity of worshiping and loving God. You see, men and women are the crowning glory of God's creation. Have a great week. Come back next week. Lord willing, we'll meet and we'll talk about how God puts Adam in the garden.